And so we are going to give him praise. We want to bless the name of the Lord today as he gets ready to pour out his spirit upon us in ever increasing amount, ladies and gentlemen. And so that's part of what we are doing too today. Today is not a regular Sabbath. This is one where you and I, ladies and gentlemen, are participating in the great work that God is doing. So I want to go ahead, let me see where it's right here, ladies and gentlemen, because what I'm saying to you is that we're going to answer the question today, what does Pentecost mean to me? For every one of you, you have to decide that for yourself. For me, it is the empowerment of the church. That is the gist of it. And I want us to get this clear in our mind, as we heard yesterday about the fire of God, that we want the power of God to come upon us in greater measure. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Let me go ahead and point something out. Because it doesn't have to happen to you today. You may not be at that stage where you're ready for it. But some years ago, I read an article by Herbert W. Armstrong, how to be imbued with the Holy Spirit. That was the title, how to be imbued with the Holy Spirit. And I read that article and I was so stirred up. Man, listen to me. It's as if I had lost my mind. I wanted exactly what was described in that article. The Spirit of God saturated. So I read it. It was a Tuesday evening and I prayed and I asked the Lord, overwhelmed Spirit. And immediately I was like in a headlock. I was like in a headlock immediately, ladies and gentlemen. I was like that for 2 weeks. I could see two walls. I see a lot of things that normally you wouldn't be able to see. I remember seeing my boss going to his office to get my paycheck. He's five offices down from me. And I saw him when he did it. I saw him when he was walking all the way down. My back was turned to the door of my office. But I saw him when he approached. He was like about 2 feet away. And I just turned my hand around to collect a check from him. Just like that. Jumped back. Was shot. I saw him all the way when he walked down. I went to places. I mean, there was nothing I did I could go wrong. I was the finding favor with everybody. I can tell you more about that, but I'm just saying to you, that is possible, ladies and gentlemen. And that's part of what Pentecost means to me. So when you hear me asking God to pour out his spirit upon us again in greater measure to revive us, that's exactly what I mean. And I'm saying to you, and I'm encouraging everybody, because really you're nothing without the power of God. It's not by might or by power, but by his spirit things are done. And if you don't have the spirit to begin with, then you ought to have feel, but have the spirit and you don't have no power, that is just kind of... Really, what's the point in having a car without any fuel in it to go where you need to go? You need the fuel, you need the power, you need the spirit to enable you to go. In the book of Luke, the third chapter, he says in verse 16, John is speaking, he says, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I come, the shoes lace of which I am not able to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I talked about the fire yesterday. What is the purpose of the fire? To cleanse everything. When you get full of this, by the way, you know, sickness come up on nobody when they're full. There has to be a lapse somewhere. When you're full of Zoe, the enemy can't touch you. That's another reason why we ought to pray so that we become filled and stay filled, because Ephesians 5:18 is telling us that Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what we are supposed to be doing. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am saying to you now, Jesus' fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he's going to burn up with fire, unquenchable, or you might say unquenchable fire. You can't put it out. So the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that we want God to just burn on it. That we have in us. And we need to be saturated with his Spirit. And that's what I'm asking the Lord to do again. And now we're going to keep pressing through because we want more of his power to be in us. Every one of us, ladies and gentlemen. But that's what I'm encouraging you today. To you to pray the prayer like we just sung that song to revive us again. That God will fill our heart with his love. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. But I want to go ahead and just touch on this in just a minute so you understand where we're coming from. Let's go back to the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. It says, you shall number 50 days after the Passover, and then the morrow after the Sabbath, you shall count unto you, verse 15 of Leviticus 23, unto the morrow after the Sabbath, after the seventh Sabbath, from that day that you brought the corn in, the first tree, that you're now going to count it, and that means 50th, seven Sabbaths, that's 7 weeks, 7749, and then the morrow after that is the 50th day. And you shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 10 wheat, and shall be an offering of fine flour. And you're going to offer an offering unto the Lord. Now, the purpose of these 2 fine wheat, we're going to talk about it at some other time, but it means Jew and Gentile. That's what it means. All right? He's creating us one new man, one church. Jew and Gentile, that's what that means. All right? So anyway, that's when you're going to celebrate. Today is the 50th day, ladies and gentlemen. So we give God praise. Here it is. We're a part of it. Now, what do we want? We want God to pour out more of the Spirit upon us. And we just read where we want the fire to, right? Make sure we don't have no impurities in us. So let's go now to the book of Acts, because we saw the promise that was made before. And then we want now, chronology of what actually transpired. Jesus had promised them the Holy Spirit, and that means that along with comes what? Power. Well, here he says in verse 1 of Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it was fully come. By the way, the Spirit came out upon them just a little before 9 o'clock in the morning. So we're actually a little late when you stop and think about it. He says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues. We covered that yesterday. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. So the people around town, verse 5, when the dwellers in Jerusalem, devout men, who they came to keep the feast, and a lot of people keep the feast the old-fashioned way, the Old Testament way, that's what those folks were doing. And so when the Spirit come, now folks were in left field, they didn't know what to do, it was a little different. And so verse 6 says, now when there was noise abroad, because a lot of people, you see what's happening now, and they get shocked. And the multitude gathered and they were confounded because they heard every man speaking in their own language. Well, the manifestation was actually in the hearing. God is causing that to happen. And verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, are not all these who speak Galilean? How is it we hear everybody speaking in our own language? And they mentioned some of them like Parthians, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, all kind of people, from Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and Libya, and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes. Everybody was there, all mixed in, wondering what's going on. They're from Crete and from Arabia. They hear them speak in tongues with the wonderful works of God. They were all amazed. And some people start to make fun, you know, verse 13, others start to mock. They didn't get the full gist of what was going on. So Peter, in verse 14, said, he stand up and he said unto them, "You men of Judea and all you dwelling people at Jerusalem, be you known and listen to the words, for these are not drunk, because it is only the third hour of the day." Remember, the day starts at 6 o'clock. The third hour is 9 o'clock, as we would call it today. They're saying, this is what is happening. And so he started to give them a dissertation as to what is taking place. Now, why am I saying this, ladies and gentlemen? Because we heard yesterday that we should not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We are supposed to be filled. So that is our goal. We want to make sure we get a new infilling. We are asking the Lord to fill us up again with His Spirit. So, ladies and gentlemen, what am I trying to share with you? I am saying, I'm encouraging you now to press through, do not stop until it happened to you. You want the power of God on you. You don't want to be an ordinary Christian, one that just go about with no power. You speak and you're not your words, people don't take you serious. We want to be, yes, exceptional. And so that's what I want to encourage you today to think about that. You're going to continue now. Press through even after the service finished today. Now, what when the power comes up in you, you're going to have ability for extraordinary things. But are you going to stop there? No, you're going to continue to press through continually for the rest of your life. So that's what I want to share with you. I want to make sure you understand this. So let's go ahead and look at some foundational things to begin to recognize what is going on. Because this world needs to fulfill its potential, and that's what Pentecost represents, the potential that God has for us to come to, you know, the realization that we can do more. Now, I want us to go back to the very beginning and look at something. In Genesis chapter 3, let's turn to Genesis, the third chapter, and look at verse 16. Jesus is speaking, but the word says in verse 16, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. You shall bring forth children, and the desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over you." Verse 17. And he said to Adam, because you have listened unto the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I command you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow you shall eat of it, and until the day, all the days of your life. Horns and so on is going to bring forth, he continued to point out. And by the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat bread. In other words, you're going to have to hustle. That's how it was, ladies and gentlemen, because of what they did. He messed up, Adam had foolishly followed, and so that happened. Now look at verse 21. "And to Adam also he said to his unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin, clothe them?" And then he said, "And run them out of the garden." My point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that's how it was in the beginning, from Garden of Eden. So something has been missing all along. And so when God proposed this plan now of having Pentecost, he's talking about part of the revival. Is it for everybody? No, it's only for the first fruit now. We know the full story now. The Jews didn't get it. They think it was only about them. No. Yes, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but really he's God of all the earth too. And so the point was that that is part of the plan. We just saw what happened to Pentecost, and so we're acting that out today. Now in the book of Numbers, I want to go ahead, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the 24th chapter. Let's pick up something here and get a little bit more direction as to how things ought to be. Numbers chapter 24. And let's see, in verse 20. He says, when he had looked at Amalek, he took up this parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And verse 21 says, and he looked unto the Kenites and took up his parable and said, strong is the dwelling place, and you are thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted until Ashur shall carry thee away captive. And he goes on to point out, he's prophesying about certain people, what is going to happen to them. Look at verse 24. And he took up this parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? So, you know, what is happening? The prophecy here is about what God is going to do. And Balaam really is the one saying this about these people, prophesying what is going to happen. Now, verse 30, let's see. There is no 30. So, 24. Balaam rose up. Let's see. I think I hope down. Same one again. It shall come from the coast of, let's go ahead. Balaam, verse 25 says, Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. Now, what is up? They had asked Balaam to come and curse Israel. Yes, he actually was a prophet that some really went astray and did a lot of stuff, and God really, God can intercede, actually come in on your spiritual wavelength and cause you to say things. And that's basically what happened. So God was really prophesying through him when then he had a suppression. But my point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that you're going to begin to learn, and we saw that yesterday, that we cannot operate without the Spirit. So let's go back to Numbers chapter 11. And pick up verse 21. So Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them? In other words, they're arguing. What's their problem? They want meat. And they said, should we just kill our animals? That's not enough. You know, they're going to, once you kill them, they're dead and they're gone. And of course, you know the end result. God is going to send quail for them. And verse 23 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short that thou shalt see whether my word shall come to pass unto you or not? Now notice the way he's talking to him. I want you to learn this lesson. Look what God is saying. My word is going to always come to pass. So what has he said about us? And what is it I want us to begin to see? His word is going to come to pass. What else did he say about us? I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. This is what I want you to begin to see. He made that promise. And it's up to us now to press John to forget it. That's the idea. Let's read a little more. Verse 20, 24. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of elders of people and set them around about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke unto him, that's unto Moses, and took of the spirit that was upon him, upon Moses, and gave it unto the 70. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But they remained, two of the men that were in the camp, they weren't there. Bedad and Eldad, they were in the camp. And so when they see here what is happening, they say, Moses, stop him, stop him. They run unto the told Moses, and Joshua said unto the son of Nun, said unto Moses, he said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. And look at Moses' response. Moses said unto him, envious thou for my sake? I would to God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. My point here is that not a proof again that they did not have the spirit large scale. But now he's making it available to us, and if we don't press through to get it, it's real sloppiness. It's not a good attitude if we're going to tell God we're not interested. Because I'm telling you, we need it. We need it. And so you need to press through, and you need to really agree with me. According to Matthew 18:19, we're going to pray for the fire to come upon you. So what we're seeing then is that God had made this promise. Now, it is recorded elsewhere in a different way. So let's go to the book of Joel. Because I want us to make sure we understand, ladies and gentlemen, too many people are going without anointing. They go without any power. And they fail to understand that it is really to their shame. God wants all of us to be anointed. He wants all of us to have power. And there are a lot of people who are going without power. In Joel, the second chapter, verse 28, he says, it shall come to pass that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh that you come to make it dead. I am reading this. You have heard me read it over and over for what it says. Why am I saying it? Because I want you to see that it is your loss when you are not pressing through. But if things are not working right, well, that's part of the reason why it's not working right. Spirit can't come right again. And so he says in verse 28 again, Joel, the second chapter, it shall come to pass that I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see dreams, and old men shall see visions. Young men, rather, older men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. And upon the servants, upon the handmaids, in other words, it's available to everybody. Do you want this or not, ladies and gentlemen? I know I do. And so I'm encouraging, and listen to me, it has happened to me before, actually more than once. I am telling you that you don't have to start having a life until you have this power coming up. And you need to press through. You need to press through. What is it that you need that needs to, listen, every problem that you have can be solved by the power of God coming up. Don't let the enemy trick you and con you. Bypassing this. Alright, so he made that promise. Now in the book of Acts we saw initially how it came on the Pentecost and so on, but I want you to notice part of the protocol with what God is trying to share. So in chapter 2 and verse 37, chapter 2 and verse 37, Peter was still talking to those folks, and so they said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. In other words, they got convicted. And they said unto Peter, unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Are you asking that question? What shall you do? I'm saying you're going to start to pray like you mean it today, like your life depends on it, until this power comes. I don't care what other issues you have, they will just disappear. Yes. He'll give you the wherewithal to fix them. But my point is, compared to this, they will be as if they're non-existent. So he says, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift, it's a gift. The promise is unto you, verse 39, and to your children, and to all that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. Listen to me. My children grow up in the church. They had access to this. The promise was unto me, wife, son. So it comes automatically extended to the children. Like they don't. If they can't muster up enough energy to ask the Lord to give their authority to them. It's a whole world out there. It doesn't have to be that way for you. You can have the power of God operate magnificently in your life, okay? So I want to encourage you along that line, ladies and gentlemen. So what I am saying, what is your resolve? What's the song say? I am resolved no longer to linger. Well, you're not going to linger. You're going to press through for the power of God to come upon you. Now let's look at Acts chapter 5. See part of what transpired when the power comes upon us. In verse 27, he says, when they brought them, they were set before the council, that is, Peter, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They're talking about Jesus. In other words, they're doing something and they're going to do something serious. That's what they're saying. And so, blood is going to be on their hands. That's what they mean. Then Peter said unto them, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. Are you with me? Notice the way they talk. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Who are the ones who slew Jesus? Sinners. All the sinners. That's the purpose of why you died. Yes, these people did it physically, but my point is that they're the cause. Him had God exalted with his right hand, a prince and a savior for repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness of these things. We are witness of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost. One of the ways you know that you are on the right path is that the Holy Ghost is with you, confirming the things beforehand. The Holy Ghost is a witness whom God had given to them that not to everybody, but to me. Are you with me on it? How are you going to improve then? Regular type of study, regular worship. Yes, you have to give me that. You have to open your mouth up so God can hear you, so the devil, the demons can hear and become scared of you. You will open your mouth. Oh, they ain't scared of you. I mean, they just saw you. It's okay. Pinch me. By the way, that's a cricket expression. Outplayed another person so badly, you say they are mince meat. And so anyway, the point is that in order to improve, you have to have fasting, teaching the word, regular Bible study, regular worship, godly association, in other words, having the right people, good teaching, and you want a godly pastor to look over your soul for you. Those are just some of the seven things we need to improve, ladies and gentlemen. But I want to challenge you today. I want you to challenge you to be an overcomer. How are you going to be an overcomer? By the power of God. Seven times it's mentioned of Revelation chapter 20. You get overcome like me, that overcome like me. I overcome this concept of saving. And so you just read about it in chapter 3, Revelation. When you have the power, you will be able to overcome. Are you with me? Press on. You know, in Romans, the 8th chapter, we are told, as many as are led by the Spirit. In which you must have the Spirit. But after you have the Spirit, now you need to follow the lead of the Spirit. Saw yesterday we quenched the Spirit. No, you don't want to. You want to follow the leading of the Spirit. And all you're going to do that, Saturday. You see, you can't help but coming back in this thing, Saturday. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to encourage you to do is to position yourself so that you can receive from the Lord. It's kind of that expectation. Now, the nature of the way this thing works, ladies and gentlemen, is for us to just do things God's way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 5. Is it? First, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. There are some folks, ladies and gentlemen, who just have a form. I don't want us to get into this thing about forms. I don't want to be just like everybody else. I want to be what God wants me to be, that in our Lord to lead me. So verse 4 says, some people are traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they have a form of godliness, it says in verse 5, and they deny the power thereof. And so from such, turn away. What are you going to do? You want to hang with the people of God. You want to associate with them because godly association leads to spiritual growth. Godly association leads to spiritual growth. In fact, there are some things you can't accomplish without you agreeing with somebody else. Matthew 18:19. And so we need to understand how it works. So this is part of the test. Are you going to follow the Spirit or not? And I'm saying to you that we need to press through. Now, we know the story of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, and how it ends. The other foolish ones weren't ready. You don't want to be among those. You always ready time. And so, what you and I then need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is get the big picture. You must get the big picture. And I want to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to encourage you because let's go back to Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. I want you to see something. Most people don't get it. They don't understand what is going on. They miss out. In Malachi chapter 3, and in verse 16, he says, they that feared the Lord, in other words, you have respect for him, they spoke often one to another. Talking to one another about the word of God, or you're talking your own trash and talking about the latest thing that is free. Compared to the word of God. Right. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord listened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that taught upon his name. In other words, the ones who are there talking about him. He have angels observing everything you do. And they're making a note of it. If they're talking about the things of God or whatever it is you're talking about, they still write it down. But he put you in the category of the ones which I am going to, you're going to see in just a minute, the ones who are going to get the reward, because they're talking about the things of God. So verse 17 says, he says, they shall be mine, says the Lord. He's talking about you and I. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares a son. So, point here, ladies and gentlemen, we need to press through. We need to press through. I want to look at a few more scriptures, but I want to go back and encourage us again this one more time, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go to Revelation, the 20th chapter. You know this. We've been over this before, but let's look at it again. There's always something that causes you to find out to find the word of God. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, it says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. We're going to have thrones? Yes! And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word, which had not worshipped, had received mark upon their foreheads or in their if and a great price, 1,000 years. There is a certain part of what's going on. So I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to recognize the category that you put yourself in when you decide to do God. Let's go back and pick up a part of the picture again, because I want us, we're going to see some more in just a minute, but I want us to look at these things and get it clear in our mind, ladies and gentlemen. In the book of Daniel, the 44th verse, Daniel chapter 2, verse 4. In the days of these kings, time just ahead of us, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 40. Actually, 44. And so he says, they're going to break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So that's the kingdom of God he's going to set up. For as much as you saw that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, in other words, it was supernatural, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known unto the king, which was Nebuchadnezzar at the time, what shall come to pass thereafter, and the dream is certain interpretation thereof sure. Well, I am telling you, the kingdom is not going to be left to other people, but the saints are going to possess it. So he's preparing all these things for us, ladies and gentlemen. And it is going to be for those who overcome. What do we need to overcome? The Spirit. The Spirit. So what I am trying to convey to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that we need to get this idea in our mind that we press through more. I want to encourage you, press through more. We're going to pray in just a minute, and then we're going to sing, and I ask the Lord to pour His Spirit upon us again, because we need more of His Spirit, more of His power, ladies and gentlemen. It is imperative that we seek more of His power. This is not by might or by power, but by His Spirit things are done. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Are you ready to ask God for more of His Spirit? How many want more of God's Spirit? Let me see your hands. How many want more of God's Spirit? Let's go ahead and pray. For those who are online, I'm assuming you have already raised your hand, we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, it was your word we're reading. It is your promise. And we know you're very generous. You're willing to fulfill your promises, great God. Overlook any shortcomings that we have. Forgive us, Father, where we have gone astray. And help us to stay focused on you. Let your spirit come upon us now, great God, in greater measure. Let your spirit come upon us in greater measure. Father, you have already given us the seed, but we want everything. We want more of your power, Father. Saturate our mind with your word. Saturate our mind with your the works of your spirit, Father. Help us now to hear your voice. We pray, great God, as we study today and as we sing praises to you, that we will be focused on you because your spirit will be directing us in the right way. And Father, you promised that you're going to come and sup with us. Revelation 3 and verse 20 says, you will come and sup with us. You and the Father will come and sup with us. And so we welcome you today. We welcome you in our life. We welcome you, Father, in everything that we're doing. And we're praying, Almighty God, that as we study your word today, Father, and as we seek now to receive from you in greater measure, we're praying, great God, that you help us now to properly position ourselves so that we can receive from you. Thank you for this. Father, pour out your spirit upon us. In Jesus' name. Let's sing that song one time. The Bible says. Jesus, hallelujah, 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 I was Let's stand at six. Let's stand at six. That verse one more time. I must again feel each heart with your love. So be filled with fire from above. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I must again. 1368. 2,000 tongues to see my great Redeemer's Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I proclaim deliverance for your people. We proclaim the promise that you have given us, great Father, that it will be coming in greater measure starting this minute. Let your Spirit come upon us now, great God, in greater measure. And as of this day, Father, help us now to continue to seek to have more of your Spirit flowing through our life. Fill us, great God, once again. Fill us with your Spirit, Father. Fill our cup, Lord. Let it run over. In the name of Jesus, let your Spirit fall in among us, great God, and help us now to have the expectation that all your promises are yes and amen, and that they will come to pass as you declare. And so we give you thanks for this, great God. Let your power come upon us now, great God. I said the light he could not see. He tossed his prayer. When Jesus came and gave his Lord his name, he would serve the winter's
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.